Hi, everyone. Before we start this week's Godcast, Frank and Christina asked me to remind you about the National Day of Prayer on Thursday, May 2nd, 2013. A History with God Ministries was named the official facilitator of the National Day of Prayer Task Force for Mercer County, New Jersey. Along with National Day of Prayer's New Jersey State Coordinator Parthenia Dixon, A History with God Ministries will be meeting on the steps of the New Jersey State House located at 125 West State Street in the City of Righteousness, Trenton, New Jersey, at 12 noon on Thursday, May 2nd, 2013. Don't miss it and stay blessed.
We're here with Frank from the History with God Ministries.
Frank, what are you doing with National Day of Prayer?
May 2nd, Parthenia Dixon and me and my wife Christina Sasso from History with God Ministries, we're going to be at the New Jersey State House in the City of Righteousness, Trenton, New Jersey, at noon, a day of prayer, a day of witnessing, ministering to the residents. It's going to be awesome. I tell you what, if they want to go to historywithgod.com, they can click on contact, and they can let us know that they're going to be there to meet us, historywithgod.com.
Let us know what's going on and who's making a difference in your community, star991.com.
Have you ever felt overwhelmed? How about anxious, fearful, or guilt-ridden? Have you ever felt so stressed out that you wanted to crawl into a hole? At times, we've all felt overwhelmed and controlled by the stresses of life. But through the power of the living Word of God and the Holy Spirit, you can put all of those feelings aside and listen to what Jesus has to say. This is a History with God Ministries Godcast Network featuring Frank and Christina Sasso. Visit us online at ahistorywithgod.com for articles, links, prophetic words, prayer requests, and other awesome resources. Be sure to join our mailing list to receive your free daily devotion right in your email every morning. They are sure to comfort, inspire, teach, and even challenge you in your walk with the Lord. And now, let's join the host of this Godcast, Frank Sasso.
Hello, everybody. This is Frank joining us. Today is, again, Mr. Keith Axum. Keith, how's it going, brother?
Hey, how are you, bro?
I'm doing very well. I'd like to welcome all of our partners, our listeners, our subscribers, our members, and most of all, our first-time listeners. If this is your first time listening, God bless you. Thanks for not tuning us out yet.
Lord bless you for listening.
I'm glad you're still hanging around.
Lord bless you for listening at least this one time.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Keith, it's been a couple months. You were on in February.
I believe it was.
And people loved you. You're so lovable.
I'm stumped there. I don't know what to say.
Of course not, because you're one of the most humble guys I know. We are.
Read my book, Humility and How I Achieved It.
Yes. Great book. Humility and How I Achieved It.
It's a bestseller.
I'll tell you what, man. We're getting ready for the National Day of Prayer on May 2nd, which is a Thursday. At noon, the History with God Ministries team is going to be on the steps of the New Jersey State House in the City of Righteousness, Trenton, New Jersey, with New Jersey State Coordinator Parthenia Dixon. Not only for a day of prayer, but a day of witnessing, a day of ministering. We're going to hit the city streets. That's like where Jesus hung out.
Amen.
I think it's going to be an awesome, awesome day.
Definitely will be.
Cool. So what's on your heart, brother?
I guess the way we think, or what our mindset is.
Concerning what?
On a regular, the stuff that we think about.
Just on a daily basis?
Yeah, because some of it has to do with renewing our mind, but it's really the difference between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant.
Right.
Because if you look at the whole Old Testament, it just pointed the way to Jesus, right?
Absolutely.
And it was rules. It was do's and don'ts. More don'ts than do's. Do this and you'll be blessed. Do this and you'll be cursed.
Or if you don't do this, you'll be cursed. If you do this,
right.
You'll be blessed. Yeah.
Yeah. Do this, you'll be blessed coming in, going out. Don't do this and you'll be, you know, eating your children. So the Old Testament was, I mean, it was harsh.
Right.
And the whole sacrificial system, the way they had everything set up.
I'm trying to get past the eating your children part. I'm still on that.
Yeah,
hang on a minute.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, that was not pretty.
Right.
And it was just the law and the way things were. And the whole thing was to point the way to Jesus, in that you can't do things in and of your own flesh.
Right.
And that's why they needed the sacrificial system, the priests, and the whole thing. And then we come to the New Testament. The Old Testament pointed the way to the New Testament. And now we have Jesus, the ultimate sacrifice, the perfect, unblemished lamb who died for the sins of the world, who went to the cross, suffered unimaginable pain and suffering on our behalf, and basically conquered sin and death, so that we who believe in him might be saved and might be the righteousness of God.
That's a word right there, might be. Meaning, like, after all he did, he suffered so much pain, they actually had to invent a word to describe it. That's where we get the word excruciating. So I always think it's funny when someone says, oh, I have a headache, it's excruciating. I'm like, I don't think it's excruciating, because that's a word that had to be invented for Jesus' pain. However, they still use the word, it still uses the word in the Bible, might be saved. It's still a decision you have to make. That's why it's a might part.
Right. And that's where the free will comes in.
Right.
And just going for that, just making that decision to follow the Lord and everything that he did, because he did do everything.
Amen.
He went to the cross to set us free, to set the captives free. And that comes to my point. People are captives, not only non-Christians, but Christians a lot of times are captives. And we're captives to our thoughts, and we're captives to the way we think. And that really brings me to my main point, my main scripture, which is out of Hebrews 10:2. For if it were otherwise, would these sacrifices not have stopped being offered? Since the worshipers had once for all been cleansed, they would no longer have any guilt or consciousness of sin. We as Christians, a lot of time, and I believe the religious world and religious tradition fosters this, walk around and we're thinking of things that we've done or we did that puts us in a position where we don't think we're blessed, or
right,
we don't think we can approach God, or
sure,
we are self-condemning. And our conscience is like laying it on us. And then the devil's pouring it on top of that. It's
exactly
like, I did this.
Right.
I thought that. I said that. I looked at that. I whatever. And it brings us to a place where we feel like we're unworthy to be in God's presence. We're unworthy to have our prayers answered. And that line of thought is totally unbiblical.
It's bogus. As the righteousness of God, you no longer have, there's no guilt or condemnation.
None. There is no condemnation.
Nothing.
And you know what? When you look up no condemnation in the Greek, you know what it means?
What?
No condemnation. None. Zero.
So
nothing.
You're telling me that if I sin,
yes,
I don't have to now feel all guilty and condemned about it. And then what I do is sit in a corner and like try and requalify
exactly
my righteousness.
Exactly.
Because I didn't qualify for it in the first place.
No.
How am I going to requalify for something I never qualified for in the first place?
Yeah.
So I rise up in my righteousness. So when I fall, when I sin, I have a right as the righteousness of God to go before the Father and say, Father, I thank you for already forgiving me of this sin you knew I was going to commit. I thank you for, I know I dropped the ball for the, before the foundation of the world. I dropped the ball here. I missed the mark. I thank you for already forgiving me. Wow, I don't even have to ask him for forgiveness, because he already gave me, he already forgave me. I could thank him for already forgiving me and then say, Lord, I'm turning from this sin. I repent, because that's what repent
right
means, to turn around,
right,
and I face you again. It's done.
It's done. And that's what this scripture says under the law, since worshipers had once for all been cleansed, they would no longer have any guilt or consciousness of
no
sin.
Longer.
However, they had to keep repeating that sacrificial system because Jesus hadn't come yet.
Right.
So they had to do it over and over and over and over and over. So you sin, you go to the priest, you present a sacrifice,
right,
where Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice, the ultimate
Amen
perfect sacrifice for us, conquered everything, said it was finished.
Mm-hmm.
And there was nothing which was unfinished when he said it was finished.
That's a good word.
So can we approach God? Can we approach God boldly? Yes.
Yes,
obviously.
Absolutely.
And no matter what your situation is. So sometimes I think when we're in a bad place and we've been fighting against something or struggling with something, that is the time we need to come boldly.
Absolutely.
Because of what Jesus did, because he
right
did it, and he did everything.
Right.
We're set free, and we can go to God, and we don't have to hold that mindset that, oh, I screwed up, God's not going to bless me. Mm-hmm. God's not going to listen to my prayers. Forget that thing I was praying about now because I did X.
God doesn't hear that. He doesn't hear that. He's not moved by
any
of that.
He looks at you, he looks at Jesus.
He sees Jesus himself.
He sees Jesus.
When he looks at us. You could be in the middle of a willful sin, a sin you planned to do, a sin you thought about doing, and in the middle of the sin, God looks at you, and you know what he sees? Perfection. Yeah. He sees total innocence.
That's right. He says, come boldly.
In the middle of a sin,
Here's my throne. Come boldly.
I know people would have a problem with this, but I'm going to tell you right now. If you're in the middle of a sin right now, if you're sinning right now listening to this, God sees you as innocent. Now, I'm not giving you a license to sin.
Yeah, we're going to come to that.
Okay.
But I think
I'm getting ahead of myself. You're getting me all excited.
You're jumping the gun.
Well, you're getting me fired up.
But what happens is we condemn ourselves. Our conscience condemns us. And who's greater than our conscience? God. But our conscience will condemn us, and then we walk around with like a woe is me kind of feeling. Mm-hmm. And then we like, I don't want to worship God. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to. Where that kind of feeling is totally incorrect, and we condemn ourselves.
Right.
For
after all, I feel so bad.
Jesus was
what
condemned
I did.
For us.
Yeah.
So we don't have to condemn ourselves.
That's right.
You get that. That will set you free. Somebody's getting set free right now.
Amen.
From that.
Oh.
You don't have to walk around with a cloud over your head because you've been doing something wrong.
Right.
We all struggle. We struggle every day. Every day with stuff.
And what a
smack. But we're forgiven.
What a smack in the face, though. If you really want to think about this, you want to feel so bad after what you did or blah, 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 whatever. Okay, you feel bad. Okay, well, move on. Get up. Go to the Father. Get cleansed. Move on. But here's the thing. What a smack in the face to Jesus. You're going to sit there and feel all bad and not exercise your right in forgiveness.
Yeah.
So Jesus did, everything Jesus did on that cross apparently wasn't enough because you got to not go feel bad for 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's right. Then it becomes, well, Jesus' sacrifice, which was nice, but I also got to be good.
That was nice of you.
It was a nice sacrifice. Thanks for that. But I also got to be good, and I also got to be worthy, and I got to walk in a certain way.
No. You can't be. How do you do that?
That was the Old Testament.
If you could have done that, Jesus wouldn't have had to go to the cross.
We were under the Old Testament then. Then we are still under the law. It's become a law to us.
Right. Exactly.
We're walking that way.
That's it. You know, Pastor Rocco used to say, he's our pastor in New York, I'll say it like Pastor Rocco. He goes, the Old Testament was like a credit card, you know, and the New Testament was the credit card bill being paid. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But yeah, it's like the credit card. It's like, okay, we're doing all this on credit. Jesus is going to come and pay the bill. That way, it's done.
Yeah. And here's the thing. What does walking around, either being conscious of sin or focusing on not sinning, what does that really make you do?
Sin.
It makes you sin.
What you focus on gets bigger. Tim McDonald.
Thank you, Tim. It's like, don't think of a pink elephant. Whatever you do, don't think of a pink elephant.
I'm thinking of a pink elephant right now.
You're thinking of a pink elephant.
I can't help it.
You're focused on that now.
You know what you just did, Keith?
Yeah.
You gave me a license to think about a pink elephant by telling me not to.
It's like, don't think about sin. Okay. I'm not going to sin. I'm not going to sin. Darn, man. Yeah. I just thought of that. Now you're focused on it.
Right.
Where should we be focused?
On our righteousness.
We should be righteousness focused.
Identity. Arise, awake to righteousness.
We should be praise focused.
You see, you know that? That's awake to righteousness and sin not. It's not saying choose not to sin. It's giving a cause and an effect. If you awake to righteousness, you will not sin. It's not like do this and don't do that. That's not what that scripture says.
No.
It's telling you if you awake to righteousness, you will not sin.
Hmm.
Oh,
and then and that's
you need
where,
to get this revelation. You need to get this.
Yeah, because you'll be set free. That's where the praise comes in. Our righteousness comes in. Just repeating, I'm the righteousness of God. I'm the righteousness of God, regardless. And there, too, when you say it, you bring that into reality and you start thinking about what you're speaking. And that becomes a part of you.
Rather than
thinking, man, I blew it again. I'm not worthy. I'm unworthy.
You keep speaking that stuff, you're going to speak that right into existence. And you know what? You're going to walk around as if you aren't worthy.
Yeah.
Because Jesus made me worthy. Guess what? I'm worthy.
You're worthy.
You're worthy. Why? You're the righteousness of God.
Bingo. And that praise just, even the stones will cry out if we don't praise them. But just giving them that praise, that takes the focus, too, off any of the other stuff or any of the garbage. We're thinking, thank you.
That's the truth.
I love you. Thank you, Jesus, that you died for me. Thank you that I have heaven. Thank you that as you are in this world, so I am.
Mm-hmm.
And just walking that way, like, it's done. It's freeing.
Amen.
Because it's
you're right.
It's pure grace. It was God's grace that did everything. And now we can't do anything to add to that. We can't do anything to be worthy or more worthy. So us walking around being conscious of sin is just self-condemning and makes us focus on it. And it really makes it in a way that we can't approach the throne, because then we come in an unworthy manner.
Right.
And we're supposed to storm before the throne.
Well, let me ask you a question. What would you say to the listener right now who agrees with what we're saying, gets it, understands it, but they're still struggling with a particular sin in their life?
Right.
They get it. They understand. They're the righteous of God. They speak it every day.
Right.
But something, for some reason, the sin keeps clutching them and grabbing them and keeping them in that place. What would you say to that person?
Well, I would say, one, just rebuke the devil. Two, seek the Lord. And then, not over and over, about a way to overcome this.
Okay.
And just thank God that it's done. And then start praising him and walking in your righteousness.
Amen.
It's done.
Amen.
That's the pure grace. Romans 11:6. Mm-hmm. But if it is grace, it is no longer conditioned on the works of anything men have done. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace.
Exactly.
If we have to do something to add to it, right. It's not grace.
It's on the condition of what we're doing.
Yeah.
What the heck is that? That's not grace. That's grief.
That's
what that is.
Yeah. Yeah, that becomes worthless. And then we become Christians who have no power.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're walking along and we're downcast and we're like, oh, I blew it this week and things aren't going right. And I know things aren't going right because I haven't been spending my time with God and
right.
I haven't had devotions and I haven't read the scripture. So right. God is up there looking down. Well, I'm not going to answer your prayer, kid. Forget it. Come back in a month after you've been having devotions every day. God's not that way.
Well, he's not.
Is that a loving father? That's not a loving father. No. And God loves us.
You have kids. You have three boys. Would you do anything to keep your kids down?
Absolutely not.
When Christina and I were in Texas, we had heard Creflo Dollar say this great thing. He knew a guy who was struggling with smoking marijuana. He's trying to get off of marijuana in his own strength. So Creflo said to him, he goes, all right, I'm not even going to tell you not to light the joint. He says, light the joint, and before you take your first puff, say, I'm the righteousness of God. And then, mm-hmm. And then, I'm the righteousness of God. And take another puff. And then say, I'm the righteousness of God. And take, before you know it, what you're speaking will overcome what you're doing. That at one point, you're going to go, I'm the righteousness of God. You're going to put that to your lips and you're going to go, you know what? I don't need this, man. You're going to throw it right away. Because you're speaking into existence. If you try and stop sinning,
calling things which are not as though
they were. That's it. If you try and stop sinning, guess what? You're going to keep sinning.
Yeah.
Why?
Because that's going to be your focus.
Right.
And what you think about is what you become. As a man thinks in his heart,
so is he. And you know what? Not only is that, if you focus on that, but if that's all you're hearing as well,
mm-hmm.
don't sin, you're a sinner, we're just sinners saved by grace. Well, that's what you're going to, okay, I guess that's what I am. I'm not a sinner.
No.
I was a sinner.
You were a sinner.
I was saved.
Now you're the righteousness of God.
Now I'm the righteousness of God.
I once heard a guy on the radio saying the Christian life is one of constant repentance. So you just walk around, a famous guy, constantly repenting. What kind of life is that?
What is that? That's not
is that
victorious.
Abundant life?
No way.
Is that victory?
What is that?
Is that righteousness?
I would dare say it's false humility. Because if you're constantly repenting, all you're thinking about is what you may be doing wrong. You're not thinking about anything as far as what you could do for the Lord. And yet you're going to call yourself a servant of the Lord.
Yeah, you're focused on sin.
That's false humility.
How boldly are you going to come to the throne there?
You're going to come there like a little worm.
Yeah.
Begging for some scraps, maybe, if you're good
and
enough.
And here's the thing. If you have to constantly repent, what if suddenly something comes up on you and you die and you have an unconfessed sin?
Uh-oh. I guess in your mind, you're going to hell.
You're going in that person's mind. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They're condemned.
Yeah. You didn't repent. So that means you better save and you better die right then and repent right then, because otherwise you ain't making it. If 30 seconds goes by, you're going to sin in your mind and you're not making it.
The more you think on it, the more you focus on it, the more you speak it, the more you hear it, the more you will become that of which you see, hear, and speak.
Amen.
And associate with. That's another thing. Who you hang out with, you're going to be just like them.
Yep.
I'm getting more and more like, I'm becoming more and more like Keith Axum every day.
Well, that's scary.
Yes, it is. However,
that's frightening.
But I have grace.
You better repent.
But there's grace.
You better repent right now. You better turn from that, brother.
When I hang out with Tim McDonald, The whole rest of the day, all I find myself saying to people, strangers even, is, hey, what you focus on gets bigger.
Amen.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When I hang out with Alan, I call him Pastor Alan, Pastor Alan Kirkpatrick, I find myself loving people more. When I hang out with Jason Ballack, Jason has such a grasp on the fact that he's the righteousness of God, it actually helps me remember that I'm the righteousness of God.
Mm. When you hang out with Jesus, you're going to want to love people more. You're going to want to extend grace. Mm. You're going to be...
Why? Because Jesus is love.
Jesus is love.
So when you hang out with love, you become more like...
You become love.
Oh, there you go. If love is patient and love is kind, you could actually say, Keith is patient. Keith is kind. Keith never fails.
Amen. And that's humble, actually.
That's the highest form of humility.
Yeah.
That I say what Jesus says I am.
Which is backwards from what religion would tell you.
That's right.
Oh, you can't do that.
Aren't you scared to talk like that?
God's going to smack you. I'd watch out for the lightning bolt.
I think God would be saying, that's my boy.
I'm standing over here.
That's it.
God would be saying, that's my boy.
That's my boy. Because that's what you would say to your kids.
Because Jesus suffered it all. He took it all the pain, all the suffering, all the punishment. Everything, that whole agonizing thing. When we watch The Passion, we can't even watch it because it's so brutal. And that didn't even touch on how brutal it really was.
That wasn't even close to what Jesus went through, as cool as that was and as well
and
done as that was.
That's why there is so much grace, because Jesus took it all. That's why we are the righteousness of God. That's why we can walk like, hey, I'm the righteousness of God.
I saw an interview with Jim Caviezel, who played Jesus in The Passion of the Christ.
Yeah.
He was saying, I can't even imagine what I went through. I thought I was going to die. Right. Yeah, and he's in pretty good shape, Jim Caviezel, at the time, anyway. I don't know how he is now, but at the time, you could see he's in pretty good shape. But no, but that movie didn't even come close to what Jesus actually went through.
No.
Not even close.
No. So as a result of that, we are set free. If you're out there and you're walking around and you're condemning yourself for whatever, it doesn't matter what you're into. Yeah. You obviously want to walk in a way that is
pleasing to God. Sure.
And it says, be holy as I am holy. Yeah, and I get all that. But don't condemn yourself if you are struggling with something.
Right.
Don't condemn yourself if you didn't read your 5 chapters of the Bible today. Don't condemn yourself if you haven't sought out God in the past 4 days or whatever it is. Nah, just come back. God's still there. He's still waiting for you. He still loves you.
He never moves.
He doesn't move. You're still the righteousness of God.
That's right.
Now don't go out and sin consciously. We're not going to do that. That's the other half of that, because then the question becomes, and it's a natural question. You mean I can do whatever I want? Yeah, you can. But the more you fall in love with God, the less you want to do those things.
And you know, but here's an encouragement, though. If people are saying that to you, well, what do you mean I can do whatever I want? Well, if they're asking that question, that means you're preaching grace correctly.
Exactly. Because that is the logical question that comes out of that.
That's how good grace is. Oh, man, if you get Christina started on this, she'll talk this for like 2 hours.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
She's so passionate about that. 2 hours. It's good stuff.
And it says in Romans 6 that we become a slave to whom we obey, whether slaves to righteousness or slaves to sin. And what happens is, if you are pursuing sin, then it gives the devil a right to mess with you.
See, that's the thing. That's the thing.
And so why would you want to do that?
Well, if you're struggling with sin, there's a difference between struggling with it and pursuing it.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
And that's the difference with grace. Yeah, there's grace. Where sin abounds, so much more grace abounds. Yeah.
Super abounding.
Super abounding. I like that.
Incredible, pulsating, pounding, amazing.
Is that the Axiom?
An ocean version? Of grace.
That's the Axiom translation?
An ocean of grace falling on you. That's the Axiom New Translation.
Amen. And as the righteousness of God, we're drowning in that ocean of grace.
Yeah.
We're drowning in that ocean of grace.
If we could drown in grace, then we'd be doing it.
Amen.
Because there's so much of it.
Mm.
Where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more.
All the more. Super abounding.
Amen. So we are free. We are totally free. And anyone who's listening, you got to know that. You got to know you're free. And you don't have to walk or don't let anyone ever put you down.
No.
Because of, you know, whatever or anything you're struggling with. And you shouldn't be focused on it either. Don't focus on it. Don't dwell on it.
Because by doing
that, give God the glory, give God the praise.
By doing that, by focusing on sin, you're giving yourself a license to do it.
Yeah, it's becoming
so focus
more
on
powerful.
Let's do this. Let's give people a license to be righteous. How's that? That's what we do.
That.
Every podcast we do, We've gotten some emails, oh, you give people a license to sin. No, we give people a license to be righteous. Yeah. We give people a license to walk in their righteousness. The people who are preaching on sin are the ones giving people a license to sin.
Yeah. It's like going to court and you're being condemned for sin. And the judge says, well, you're condemned. What do you have to say? And I say, what do you say, attorney of mine over there? Oh, Jesus? That's my attorney?
That's right. Yeah.
Jesus did it all.
He did it all.
We have an advocate with the Father. Here's the thing. We have a Jewish lawyer, number one. A Jewish lawyer we have.
Doesn't get any better than that.
Doesn't get better than that. Who's in with the judge. The whole trial's fixed.
It's all worked out.
It's all stacked in our favor. And the devil's the prosecutor. He hasn't got a chance.
Yeah, got no
he
chance.
Has all this evidence, all this stuff against us. Yep. And I just look at my Jewish lawyer. I go, what's up, Jesus? And he's like, I took care of this. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, because the devil's the accuser. He's pointing at you. Look what he did. Look what he did.
Look what he did. Sounds like Robert De Niro. Look what he did.
Look what he did.
A little bit.
Look what he did.
So then Jesus can say he doesn't have a leg to stand on.
Yeah.
The sentence already been carried
out. I'm standing in the gap.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. And he believes in me.
He's a good attorney.
He's off. This man's off. He's released.
And the judge loves you.
And the judge loves you.
And Ken does not like the prosecutor.
The judge adores you.
Matter of fact, the judge gave you that attorney that you have.
The judge gave you the attorney. That's right. Here, I got a great attorney for you. And I'm the judge, so.
Oh, I would hate to be in the devil's shoes.
This is looking pretty good for you.
This is all right. Do I even have to be here?
Yeah, right?
You know what? You do. You do have to be there because it's a relationship. Mm. It's about relationship. It's not about do's and don'ts. It's about religion. Let me tell you. Let me ask a question.
Well, that's religion. Religion is do's and don'ts, right?
That's religion. But let me ask you a question. Your son, let's say Brett.
Mm-hmm.
I call him NASA because he knows everything.
Yeah, right.
Hey, what's up, NASA?
Yeah.
And you got Luke, my assistant editor.
Yeah.
And Joel.
Uh-huh.
I love Joel Axum. I love him.
So do I.
I really do. Well, I would hope you do. You're his dad.
Amen.
Joel's a good buddy of mine. I can actually confide things in Joel and not have to worry about it getting out. Anyway, here's my question. Your relationship with your boys are important, yes?
Absolutely.
What's more important to you, your relationship with them or their behavior toward you?
Their relationship.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say Brett comes over to you and he lies to you about something.
Right.
As a dad, what's your response?
Well, my response is, look, I love you. Stop lying. And you're forgiven, but let's move forward in a way that is appropriate.
Amen. So the point is, because he did something that was not pleasing to
I'm going to tell him stop doing it, but I'm not going to stop loving him.
You're not going to stop fellowshipping with him. You're not going to stop, you won't take him. You'll take him to great adventure still.
Still going to feed him. No food for you. No dinner. One night.
And if you're not good next time, I'm going to eat you. Like the Old Testament.
Yeah.
I'm going to put you on the barbecue.
That's right.
But you would still...
Put you on the spit.
But you would still demonstrate your love for him.
Absolutely.
Okay. Because I was thinking about this a while ago. I said, if I had a son
and he lied to me... I'm not going to stop loving
your kid. I'm trying to think, you know what I would do? I would bless him.
Mm.
I would actually bless him. I'd go and buy him a bike. Well, he lied to you, though. Exactly. Because I want to show him that there is no...
That's the love of the father.
Well, here's the thing. There is nothing he can do to me to make me not love him and not bless him.
Mm.
I want him to realize he's the righteousness of his dad. Meaning he's in right standing with me.
Mm.
It doesn't matter what you do. I'm going to love on you so much that you're going to get the revelation, wow, my father really loves me so much. I'm not going to do this stuff because it doesn't please him.
Yeah.
The behavior takes care of itself when the relationship is strong.
Amen. Well, that's the prodigal, right? The son took off and worldly living, the whole thing, came back, and the father threw the robe of righteousness on him, and it's like...
And the ring.
I love you.
Everything,
gave him the ring.
Which is symbolizes authority and power.
Yeah. And that's God's love for us. That's our love for our kids, and that's a pure love. It doesn't leave. It doesn't go away. That's how God loves us. No matter... How you've blown it. And that's the thing. We're going to blow it. It's going to happen.
You're going to blow it. You're going to blow it. Don't worry about it.
No.
Do what you got to do.
You're still the righteousness of God. Don't focus on it. Don't dwell on it.
Don't blog about it.
Move away from it.
Right.
But don't walk around with your head hung down. Don't go around like you're unworthy.
Yeah, don't
be
your
afraid
clothes.
To approach God. You can approach God no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what.
Mm-hmm.
We could, God, he adores us. You can approach God. He you should loves
be
do, you.
You should
and
be doing
boldly.
This, you should be doing this topic with Christina. I don't know if you get a word in because she's so passionate about this, about God's love. It's her mission in life to make people know how much God loves them.
And that's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
That's really what it comes to is God loves us so much.
Mm.
That's the story. Send his own son to, you know, God so loved the world.
And listeners, I'm praying.
Not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Right.
Not condemning.
Listeners, we are praying that you get this revelation. It's just a simple mindset. That's just a simple adjustment in your thinking. Don't
Someone
focus.
Got it. Someone got it. I know that.
Don't focus on, now I sinned and I feel so bad and blah, blah, blah. Don't focus on that junk, man. Mm. You're the righteousness of God when you confess Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life.
Amen.
Oh.
Amen.
Well, this was cool, brother.
Amen.
You got anything else?
Enjoyed it. That's all I got, man.
All right. Well, that was good stuff. That was some good nuggets from Keith Axum. Mm.
Nuggets.
Cool.
Cool, bro.
We'll see you guys next week.
Stay blessed.
Hi, I'm Frank Sasso from the History with God Ministries. On Thursday, May 2nd at 12 o'clock noon, we're going to be at the New Jersey State House for National Day of Prayers, National Day of Witnessing, with New Jersey State Coordinator Parthenia Dixon. We hope to see you all there. National Day of Prayer, Thursday, May 2nd, 12 noon, in the City of Righteousness, Trenton, New Jersey, on the New Jersey State House steps. See you there.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast from A History with God Ministries. This teaching is a powerful ministry tool that you can use to experience the power of God in your life. Thank you again for listening and for helping us reach the world with the love of Jesus. Sign up for your free daily devotion today at ahistorywithgod.com and click on Contact. Type in your name and email address and you'll be all set. A History with God Ministries. Seeing, hearing, remembering. Mark chapter 8, verse 18. Until next time, stay in the blessings.